We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, the Eagles sure do play here when they play, as do the Phillies. You know, I'll tell you one thing. It was fun yesterday hearing the Phillies game. 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, opening day of last year. Bryce Harper.
It was awesome, man.
Right? I mean, you get this.
McCutcheon homer.
Yeah. You get
the Reese grand slam.
The crack of the bat, the sound of the crowd.
Just hearing baseball.
Yeah. I forgot Reese had a grand slam.
Yeah, put that game away.
Remember everyone thought he was going to lead the NL and RBI?
Oh, yeah, buddy. Yeah.
I believe that a month in.
He was awesome. And then he wasn't awesome.
Yeah. So, but it was nice. And I thought it was awesome, you know, the station played that. Next week, the station's going to continue with
Tuesday
at 4,
the Cliff Lee game, 2009 World Series, the bat behind the back catch, the whole Cliff Lee swag.
Well, it's two different things. It was the behind the back grab. I would call it a grab. And,
sure.
And it was the catch where he seemingly was just looking up.
And he just kind of stuck his glove out.
Yeah.
Just did the little nonchalant thing.
Yeah.
He was feeling it.
And I think he had a hit in that game, if I remember right.
I think he might be right.
No, he couldn't have because it was in the American League. So he definitely didn't have a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was in an American League ballpark.
Yeah, you're right.
But the Phillies won, I think, like, I don't want to, you know, spoil it here, but I think 5-1, something like that. He gave up a run, I think, with, like, two outs in the ninth, something like that. But anyway, one of the great highlights of Cliff Lee as a Phillies player. So that game is Tuesday of next week at 4 o'clock, and we'll just be rolling through the week.
6-1.
6-1. There you go. So a lot of games up ahead, and it should be a lot of fun to listen to. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. We'll get to what Howie Roseman had to say today to Angelo regarding Jim Schwartz and his influence, or say, if you will, on who the Eagles acquired defensively. To the phones we go, and John in Coatesville. Hey, John.
Hey, Joe. John, I don't know what Howie did to you in the past for you to have this personal vendetta, it seems like. It seems like anything Howie does, you criticize it. And I know he needs a receiver, and he'll get one in the draft. He's still pretty early on in the offseason.
Hey, John, I think the addition of Darius Slay is a great move by Howie. If Howie does something that is worth it, he gets credit from me. If he doesn't, then I'm going to be critical. Howie has not been good enough since he won Executive of the Year. And I am, honest to God, I am so fed up with everyone saying, hey, Super Bowl. Hey, they've gone to the playoffs 2 years in a row. They're getting worse. We're watching this team fall apart. It's deteriorating before our eyes because of decisions and non-decisions being made from the top. And I can't just excuse these things and say, oh, it's cool. He was great 2 years ago, so, like, everything's going to be fine. Like, I have no personal vendetta. I am basing my opinion on the here and the now.
It just seems like you do. Like, how you guys started this show, when I thought you were about to crush John's face. I mean, Joe's face.
All right, John,
I will crush your face.
John, what do you got? I like the humor, John. What do you got for something convenient?
Let's go with the GPS. No one gets
wow.
lost anymore.
Yeah.
Great answer, John.
That's huge.
That's convenient.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what we're looking for.
Perfect answer.
Yeah, it is.
And we've never talked about this, Joe, but I would assume that you have, like, zero sense of direction.
No,
right?
I was okay. I'm okay.
Do you even use GPS?
Of course I use GPS. Okay. But I use it more at this point just for traffic patterns than how to... I mean, obviously there's times you don't know where you're going. If you're going to like a random event at a random spot, you got to plug it in. Of course, 98% of where any of us go is to the same types of spots all the time. Like, here are my two comments on GPS. One, it's obviously great, but I will say I do miss the old days a little bit because there was something nice about trying to figure it out. It was kind of cool trying to figure it out.
The old days meaning the old, you would print out the map.
I didn't even mean that. Well, that's
the days before that.
I didn't mean
like
that.
What's the best? I'll take this route and see if this is better than that.
No,
route.
I meant more
trying to figure it out. I don't know where I'm going, but I'll get there.
Well, you got the map in your car.
Well, yeah, when you get lost and stuff, and you have to get yourself out of it.
You enjoyed getting lost.
There was something nice about trying to figure your way out. You know, you're the rat in the maze, and how do you get out of it? It was nice.
That's
comment one. Comment two, and this is the grander comment about GPS.
Grander comment.
All right, because we've never discussed this.
Wait, you liked getting lost?
I like figuring it out. Okay, I'm sure I'm not the only one. Because I was the guy that would pull over and ask. Like, I know, you know, the traditional thought was women pull over and ask, guys just plow ahead and they refuse to ask. I was the guy that would pull over and ask. But here's my bigger comment.
There are a lot of guys who would.
Yeah,
I have no problem
but a lot then.
Yeah, I think everyone asked, and that just became a trope, fake.
Here's my bigger point about GPS. Four words. How does it know?
What do you mean, how does it
know? How does it know? How does it work? How does it do what it does?
You really don't understand this?
I don't.
Wait.
Really? Like, legitimately don't? Are you serious?
Not in complex terms, no. How does it know? John, James?
What are you talking about?
How does the GPS know that there's an accident up ahead?
Crowdsourcing.
And what does that mean?
It means that people add it into the GPS and say, hey, there's an accident here, this and that. Like,
I've
that
heard
type
that.
Of stuff.
That's amazing because I don't do that. I mean, John, do you?
I have.
You've passed an accident and said, I got to notify GPS to help out the rest of society? God bless you, man. That's certainly nothing I've ever done. I wouldn't even know how to do it.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't.
It's amazing. So that aspect, and then, I mean, what about that it's slow, like independent of an accident? Hey, it's heavy traffic. People are, so what, they got to text while they drive?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're not supposed to do that. And then, of course, there's the whole other thing. How does it know all the roads?
Are you kidding me? It's maps. They input maps.
But it's
there, man.
But James, don't lose sight. Listen, just because it's 2020 and we're used to things,
they have satellite views,
guys.
But Google Maps, like you can see any house in the world by just clicking on the address.
I understand that.
Satellites.
I understand that, but don't lose the amazement of that. That's remarkable. Okay, that's amazing.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just not asking how.
All right. Let's go to Johnny in Springfield. What's up, Johnny?
Yo, what's up, Joe? John, how you guys doing, man? Been a long time.
Yeah, what's up, Johnny?
Good hearing from you again, man.
Hey, man. Yeah, good hearing from you guys. So with the whole Howie thing, man, I'm kind of on the fence a little bit. I hear what John's saying. He's really – his strengths are really making moves, man, and trades. And yeah. I will give him, you know, the amazing year of Wentz was that 2016. Getting rid of some garbage, moving up from, you know, moving up twice and getting Wentz, our franchise quarterback. So
every decision he made was the right one for a stretch there. And it ended up getting him executive of the year, and we won the Super Bowl. But I haven't seen that, Howie.
Yeah, John. And what you were saying is basically this is a what have you done for me lately?
Yes.
League. And I understand that. And it has been frustrating to see us with – like the Sidney Jones one really hurt because we're getting this guy, you know, we're going to wait on him, but he's first – he's a blue chip. He's a first rounder and you know, he hasn't really blossomed into a true starter
Sick
in the league.
And, I mean, Johnny, you can make the case if Sidney Jones is the real deal, you don't have to go get Darius Slay. Now, look, Sidney Jones would be getting near a contract extension. But you can make the case you won't have to go get Darius Slay, and then you could use that money, you know, to go get DeAndre Hopkins. So there is a tangible impact to missing on draft picks.
Yep.
Yeah, Joe, and I'm not, you know, I'm not an NFL scout, and I'm not going to pretend to be. I'm a huge football fan. I do follow college. But I even called in. It was last year on the draft. I was watching the draft, and it was DK Metcalf was on the board. and I knew we needed a receiver, and I'm like, I think we can get
this
guy.
So far,
I felt so great. We got a man. We got Sanders, and I was like, I think we're going to get Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pull J.J. Arcega-Whiteside
right out
of nowhere. And then I'm like, all right, the kid went to Stanford. You know, maybe they know something I don't. And you know, the end of the year, look what Metcalf is. He's a specimen. He's ridiculous.
Yes, like, he is. No, you're right. He's a really good player. There's no question.
All signs were pointing towards pick him. And we should have.
Yeah, I got you. Johnny, what do you got for what's convenient? Give me a great answer.
All right, so this is a great answer. This is definitely on Mount Rushmore. In 2007, Steve Jobs released the iPhone, and it has made...
Well, Seltzer already took it.
Seltzer. Oh, yeah. Shoot. All right. Wow, then I guess
great
that's off
answer,
the board.
Great answer, though.
But, you know, I'll stick with that answer, even though Seltzer said it. But
you
I just wanted to say, you know, a lot of people have copycat it. And I know BlackBerry came before, but that's when everything started.
iPhone accelerated. Yeah, it accelerated things. Yeah, it did. Johnny, good call as always. So the GPS counts as an answer, even though it's part of a smartphone, because it also can be independent of a smartphone.
Yeah, and also, I think, like, I was just talking about the smartphone and all, and not the specific. If you have a clever answer with that, I think that's fine.
I got you. All right, let's get to Howie on Jim Schwartz. Howie asked earlier today by Angelo about Schwartz and his influence as free agents are brought in, something that has been at times criticized. I don't quite understand why, but some people find it problematic. Here's Howie.
Find what problematic that Jim Schwartz has say?
Has say. People sometimes think that
really?
The Eagles. Yeah, I've heard people say, well, why do they just keep signing Schwartz people? And then they say, maybe Schwartz has too big a say. I've heard that. Here it is.
Here's
the way it's supposed to be.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm with you, but it is something that is a narrative out there.
Oh,
for
I think it's probably the people who don't like Jim Schwartz.
Possibly, right? You might be right about that.
Well, they didn't all work out. Zach Brown last year didn't work out.
True.
So sometimes it's just based on what's the most recent. You say, okay, that didn't work. By the way, I'll tell you this before we play this. I thought Howie went a little out of his way here to de-emphasize
that Schwartz has said.
Schwartz's role.
Yeah.
Schwartz should have role, but you'll hear how Howie addresses it. I thought Howie actually kind of did Schwartz a little unfairly here by kind of de-emphasizing Schwartz when Schwartz should have a real say in it.
When Howie was talking about his vision.
There you go.
Well, not so much that. Jim Schwartz to make picks.
Let's listen to Howie Roseman today. We'll react. Here it is, Howie Roseman on Schwartz.
Our interpretation from afar, Howie, is that Jim Schwartz has had a major voice in this free agent period because so many of the players, first of all the players you signed were defensive players, and secondly, a lot of them had a connection to Jim. Did he have the biggest voice?
I don't think that's fair.
No?
I don't. Because this is what I'd say. I'd say the same thing that goes with Coach Schwartz. So we will give him guys that we really like, and we don't start with, he doesn't come to us and say, hey, I like this guy, go get him. We say, hey, we have an opportunity to go get this guy, whether it's a guy that he's coached or a guy he hasn't. So, you know, Will Parks, he hasn't coached. We say, hey, our personnel staff, we like this guy. We think there's a role. But we go to Jim, we go to our defensive back coach and say, do you see the same way? Because it doesn't matter my vision for the player if the coaches don't have that same vision.
Okay.
That'll just make us look silly. So in a case like this, I mean, it's not hard to watch Darius Slay and see what kind of player he is.
Right.
That's not a hard one. Right.
He's a great player.
I got kids at home, and they're telling me after we make the trade, they're watching highlights and they're going, yeah, I'm glad we got him. Like, that's not a hard one. Like that doesn't take any expert to figure that out. Now, the good thing is that he coached him, so he understands how he picks up the defense, how he works in practice. That's helpful. You know, I say the same thing about Roby Coleman. You watch Roby Coleman, Angelo.
Yeah.
He is twitched up. He's explosive. That's not because Coach Schwartz told us about that. That's what we're seeing. That's how it's looking from a personnel perspective. And then we try to kind of balance personnel and some of these numbers here, and he's incredible. So you have, on both the objective and subjective part of it. So then we go to Jim, who had him in Buffalo a long time ago, but also Ted Rath, our director of performance, was with him in L.A. So he understands what he has in his body, too. That helps. But it doesn't start out that way. And I understand it. I understand why that could be seen. But we definitely include our coaches. But the process is along the lines of what I'd say. It's the same way for the draft. You know, we give our coaches a list of guys. They don't give us a list of guys. And they're based on the process that we've started in May.
There you go. There's Howie today on Schwartz. I mean, look, it's all fair. I mean, like, I think it's a little bit roundabout when he says, you know, we don't say I like, you know, he doesn't say I like this guy, go get him. We say we have an opportunity to get this guy, should we get him? I mean, it's all basically the same thing. I mean, in the end of the day, the buck stops with Howie.
No, it's not the same thing. He's making sure to clarify that.
Well, he is.
It doesn't start with Jim Schwartz.
Well, he
starts with the personnel department where they identify the guy. And then they take it to Jim and ask him if he likes the guy.
Yeah, but to be clear, any free agent, anyone that knows anything, you can just look up on the internet who are the available free agents. So whether Jim Schwartz, you know, Jim Schwartz and Howie Roseman knows the same list. Now, Howie might have greater, obviously it's greater insight on guys that could be traded around the league. And so then Howie says, hey, okay, we got a chance to get player X from Buffalo. We have to trade for him. What do you think? And that makes sense. But both Howie and Jim Schwartz are aware of the same list of free agents. I mean, they both know who's, quote, available because they're freaking free agents. So I don't think that stuff matters much. I mean, do you have any issue with how Howie presented that, John? I know you get all riled up about, you know, his vision and other people's visions.
Well, I hated the part where he – first of all, don't devalue Jim Schwartz's role because
– Do you agree he did a little bit? Because I thought
yes.
He did. Yeah.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah, I thought that was a little off.
I have a problem with anyone who says that Jim Schwartz isn't an outstanding coach. He is outstanding.
I agree with you.
He is a mastermind, and I'm not overselling that. We are so lucky to have Jim Schwartz here for another year. Every, you know, off season, I'm afraid someone's going to take him. He's going to take a head job. I think he's certainly a better defensive coordinator than a head coach because – he can be a little difficult, you know, a little bristly, but we're lucky to have him. And I was really bothered by the part. It doesn't matter my vision for the player if the coach doesn't feel the same way.
Why does that bother you?
I don't know, because it's just backwards. If we're talking about like visions of players.
Yep.
Jim Schwartz's vision of a player is a lot more acute than Howie Roseman's vision of a player.
You just don't think Howie basically merits having vision of a player. I disagree with you, but that's essentially what you're saying, right?
But I'm hoping that with all the – yes, but I'm hoping with all the support system around him, you know, you've got a lot of people who are pitching in. He mentions Ted Raff, you know, guys who we know about Andy Weidel. Joe Douglas brought Andy Weidel with him. You got a lot of people there who've done a lot of scouting through the years,
yep,
and they can advise Howie the right way on what matters and what
doesn't.
Can
I just ask a question? When the Philadelphia Eagles had the 13th or 14th pick in the draft, I forget what it was, in 2016, and they knew they wanted to get a franchise quarterback. They knew Bradford wasn't going to be that guy. Maybe he was going to be their quarterback for a year or two, but they just knew Sam Bradford's really not the guy to go with for a long time. And so they said, okay, the draft's a way to get a quarterback. All right, there's these two guys at the top, Goff and Wentz. Wentz and Goff, who knows exactly which order they'll go, but they're going to go in the top two or three. John, so whose vision would you want? Like, let me see how I can put this. The coach had just been hired. The owner's the owner. Who would you want to have the vision to say, go get Carson Wentz? I mean, Doug Peterson had been here 5 minutes. He just got hired.
What are you asking?
What
me?
I'm asking is, you're ripping the general manager's usage of his own vision.
The scouting department needs to tell you who is good
and
who's not.
And the
who
scouts
you should trade
and
up
the scouts
for.
Do that. And then Howie Roseman, yeah, with in conjunction
and
with
Howie
what they
do
say,
the trade.
In conjunction
Howie
with what they say,
needs to stick to that stuff and taking the advice of people who are well versed in the football part of football.
So you don't think Howie really merits like any part of being at the table?
No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. And don't act like I did.
Okay, what are you saying?
Howie has strengths and he has weaknesses. We are seeing the weaknesses stick out as it pertains to the players we've picked with the most important picks in the draft as of late.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Brian and Yardley. What's
Think
up, Brian?
It. Think about how productive our drafts have been. Yes, Miles Sanders was a hit and Dallas Goedert was a hit. But we have wasted picks at positions that we are now looking to fill. Mm-hmm. Like, we now desperately have to fill defensive end,
cornerback, wide receiver, all positions that we have drafted guys high in recent years. Howie has final say. That is all Howie, Joe.
He's definitely made mistakes. There's no question. Brian and Yardley. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Brian.
First, I just want to thank you guys for being on the air. The three of you, I call you Triple J. Joe, John, James, you're the best personalities on WIP. So thanks again, guys.
Jeez. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yep. Well, John, you're really going to thank me because I'm here to defend you.
Oh,
and I cannot believe the way you're being attacked.
Yeah. I can't believe how blind these two are. Like,
John,
just open your eyes, fellas.
Things. Let me just start with a couple things. I'll be quick. One, this whole Super Bowl thing. I'm not going to go through it, but I encourage everybody. Look at the players on that Super Bowl team. Now, I love Ruben Frank. He was on a couple weeks ago. And in Ruben's book, he gives Howie credit for every draft pick where he's the GM. That's wrong. We've all been conditioned to know that the head coach makes the picks.
No, that's not accurate, Brian. The head coach has influence. The head coach doesn't make the picks. The head coach made the pick in 2015.
No.
Hold on, that's just one second, Brian.
We'll call
the
it
head
a,
coach the,
we'll call
the,
it a push.
No, it's not a push. The head coach made the pick in 2015 when Chip Kelly, without the title of general manager, got handed the power by Jeffrey Lurie entering the 2015 offseason. But in this scenario with the Eagles, the general manager, not the head coach, makes the pick.
Joe, I understand it. I'll leave it at that then. That's fine.
Okay.
Because that was Rube's opinion. But John, this is for you, a Stanford graduate. It's something that my brother and I have talked about a lot. With Howie Roseman, the Eagles are in a state of perpetual error correction. Perpetual error correction.
Yeah.
Howie makes mistakes in the draft, then he has to fix them in free agency, and they cost us picks. They cost us the future. Recent example, Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas. These guys, second, third round picks.
Yeah.
Nope. So what do? We have to trade our third and fifth for Darius Slay, right?
Right, right.
Let me predict the future, John, that you're on the ball. Andre Dillard. Be ready to error correct that problem in the future because he's not the right pick.
Wow. Yeah.
Real chance. There's a real possibility there. You're right, Brian.
Yeah.
It's not getting better. Like, to Brian's point, it is getting worse. We are compounding things.
You've been on that.
Yes.
You've been on that the whole time that we are on a downward slide.
Yeah.
Sometimes the stars just align. That's what happened in 2017. But let me make a quick point here because I was using the old, and some people argue this, but the old draft trade value chart seems to still hold a lot of weight.
Of course.
So Joe, John, James, everybody's telling us that we're going to get a great wide receiver. We're going to get a great wide receiver. Well, every draft site I look at that has, you know, the pick slotted, the three receivers tend to go 11, 12, 13.
Yep.
Look at a lot of them, 11, 12, 13. For us to move up to 13, we're going to have to obviously give up our first pick. Our third round pick, our fourth round pick, our sixth round pick. That's the move to 13.
Yeah, yep.
That leaves us our 2 and our 5 and two top fourth round picks. I'm just saying.
No, it's a good point,
Howie
Brian.
Howie makes all these mistakes. We're always in error correction. We're always fixing his problems.
I love that way of putting it, Brian, because I agree with you 100%.
And let me make one last thing because I got to support John here. John, my best buddy, G Money Wargo, played football. He played Division III. But I was with him as he was a player. He then went on to coach. And when he went on to coach, he would have to scout. And I used to just go along for the ride. We'd go to watch all these games in Jersey and PA. And he'd have his notebooks. And he would talk to the parents. And, John, he went through this process. He then went on. He's a high school vice principal now. But he went on to coach in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about is a process that a football person goes through in their life.
Right.
Howie is a lawyer. Howie's like me. He looked over people's shoulders, and he decided that he knows everything now.
All right, Brian. It's totally different. It's a great point, Brian. It does matter.
Thank you, guys.
What do you got for what's convenient?
Well, Joe, here's the thing, because I had an argument. Not an argument. I love James. I had a question for James. So you took the internet off the board, which I feel like the internet's like a facilitator. My most convenient thing nowadays, I would say, is internet porn. Very convenient.
Well, so, I mean, are we talking about subgroups within the internet? I mean,
I guess it's okay, right?
I think it's
if we specify specific things.
They got to be just bonanza right now.
Oh, man.
I think it's a really, good answer.
I don't know, because then are we opening up everything? Are we saying, you know, StubHub and all this stuff?
I don't know. We got to make these decisions.
All right, let's say this. I said my answer was Google, because I referenced the World Book.
Okay.
And how you can look things up on the internet. So we'll say my answer, instead of being like just the internet, is specifically Google. So
but no one can say the internet.
Yeah.
Is the point.
But aspects within the internet can be said.
Good. I think so.
Okay.
That's fair.
That is fair. 215-592-9494. Coming up this day in sports history, we got some good ones up ahead that happened in yesteryear. Some good stuff, including a highlight of one of the most recognizable highlights that we know of in sports that happened here in Philadelphia. And also up ahead, a quote that I saw this week from an NFL head coach that warmed my heart. Why? You'll find out next. Joe DeCameron, John Rich on WIP.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.